Welcome to day 17 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland. Glad that you could join me today in our journey through the Word of God. Today's scripture reading will come from the New American Standard Bible, and we are reading from Genesis chapter 16 through the end of chapter 18, starting at Genesis 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. After Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarai took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." But Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. He said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority." Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count." The angel of the Lord said to her further, "Behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live to the east of all his brothers." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "Have I even remained alive here after seeing him?" Therefore the well was called Be'er Lahairoi, "Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered." So Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram called the name of his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Chapter 17. Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come forth from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." God said further to Abraham, "Now as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be the sign of the covenant between me and you. And every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. A servant who is born in the house, or who is bought with money from any foreigner who is not of your descendants. A servant who is born in your house, or who is bought with your money, shall surely be circumcised. Thus shall my covenant be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. But an uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I will bless him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall become the father of 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this season next year." When he finished talking with him, God went up from Abraham. Then Abraham took Ishmael, his son, and all the servants who were born in his house, and all who were bought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's household, and circumcised the flesh of their foreskin in the very same day as God had said to him. Now Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And in the very same day Abraham was circumcised and Ishmael his son. All the men of his household who were born in the house or bought with money from a foreigner were circumcised with him. Chapter 18. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. When he lifted up his eyes and looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth and said, "My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please, let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that, you may go on, since you have visited your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, "Quickly, prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes." Abraham also ran to the herd and took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. He took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "There, in the tent." He said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, will have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old?' Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you at this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied it, however, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. The Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." And the Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" So the Lord said, "If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account." And Abraham replied, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." He spoke to him yet again and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on account of the 10. As soon as he had finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to his place. That is the end of today's scripture reading. Today's Bible reading is among my favorite chapters in the entire Bible. The reason for this is because we find here some keys to learning how to live by faith, walk by faith, speak by faith, and trust in the word of the Lord. The story of Abraham and Sarah, or Abram and Sarai before their names were changed by the Lord himself, is very profound. We are observing here in chapters 16, 17, and 18 of Genesis, you could say, the progression or development of a walk by faith in a man who is learning to walk with God, becoming more and more acquainted with God, having revelations and visitations of God, and he learns how to take God at his word. But we also find in the very first chapter we read, chapter 16, what not to do. when you are trying to walk in the ways of the Lord. We find here in chapter 16 that Abram's wife Sarai, who had borne him no children, came up with a brilliant idea of her own, not God's idea, but her idea of how her elderly husband could obtain a child. Now, you have to understand that in their generation, in the time of Abraham, surrogate parenting or surrogate mothers were actually something that was pursued when a wife was barren. So a secondary wife, not considered actually a wife, but really a concubine in those days, was allowed to bear children, and then the mistress, which was Sarai, would be considered to be the mother of that child, though she did not physically bear the child, because it's the child of her husband. But as we see, this was not a good idea. First of all, it was not God's idea. This is a case of Abram taking the counsel of somebody, his wife in this case, who was trying to figure out God's plan and how to make it happen with her own mind. First of all, the very beginning of the chapter starts out with Sarai making an erroneous statement. And here's the statement that she made. She said, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children." That's the first thing that she said that was totally erroneous. God had a plan for her to bear a child. Very powerful plan, an amazing plan, a plan that would resonate through the rest of human history. And God had a divine purpose in the timing of Sarai having this child who would be named Isaac. He wanted to demonstrate his power, demonstrate how people who believed God could receive the impossible made possible by a miracle-working God. It was absolutely the plan of God for Sarai to have a child, but in God's timing. I have observed in pastoral ministry many people over the years who took matters into their own hands. They believed God wanted them to be married. Well, they didn't wait, and they pushed, and they went out and found somebody and got themselves married to the wrong person, not God's will, and had a disaster on their hands. Well, this is exactly what was happening here in this chapter 16. We find two people who had a promise from God that Abraham would have a child and that he would have descendants in the multitudes like the stars of the heaven or the sand on the seashore. God had made this promise already to Abraham or to Abram. He knew the promise. Sarai knew the promise that he had. She got anxious when there was no sign of a child. And we have to be very watchful of ourselves when this happens. We have a promise from God. Maybe time passes, years go by, doesn't look like it's happening. Do not make the mistake that Abram and Sarai made here, where they took matters into their own hands and tried to devise a way to make God's will come to pass. So that was the very first mistake we see here. And again, the thing I love about Abraham or Abram who becomes Abraham is that he's very human. And we see the progression and maturing of someone who learns to walk with the Lord and to trust the Lord. And in his case, he made a very big mistake here. And we are the benefits of the wisdom of this story. Don't make the mistake and have to be the one that tells other people, don't make the mistake I made. We have the blessing of being able to observe in Scripture what not to do when you are walking with the Lord. Don't become impatient when time passes by and you have not yet seen the promise from the Lord come to pass in your life. God is the God. He's a promise keeper. He is a covenant keeper. He doesn't break his promise. He doesn't break his covenant ever. So you just have to be patient. And you can ask God for grace to be patient, because in our humanness, we are not patient. But God can give you grace to wait and to stand until you see your promise come to pass. Don't make the mistake that Abram and Sarai made here, because the result was disastrous. Sarai said, okay, here's my maid. You can have her as a surrogate for your child, and that way I could receive a child through her. And so we know the results after reading this chapter. Her maid Hagar, the Egyptian maid, becomes pregnant, and when she does, she starts having a real attitude toward her mistress and despised her. And Sarai became very angry, very upset, and started abusing the maid. Well, that is a disaster. Sarai's not acting in a godly way. The whole situation wasn't a godly deal. None of it was good in the sight of the Lord. And the result was a big problem, because that Hagar ended up bearing a son, as we saw here, named Ishmael. And Ishmael became a problem for Abraham and Sarah in the future. And the results have echoed throughout history. I don't have to give you the history of the problem between Abraham's descendants in the Middle East. That is news every single day in the media. So this is something that is a word from the Lord for us. Are you in a situation where you believe you have a promise from God, but time has gone by, there is no sign of it coming to pass? Do not take matters into your own hands. Try to make it happen. You will end up with an Ishmael, and that will be heartbreaking, and the consequences will go on for years. Now, God is merciful. And if you already have an Ishmael in your life, you've made a mistake in some area like this because you went ahead of the timing of the Lord, God is merciful. We see His mercy operating in Abraham's life here. God still brings to pass the promise. We see it, because the next chapter goes on to say, and this is 13 years after the birth of Ishmael, Abram is now 99 years old, and God appears to him and speaks to him again in chapter 17 and renews his promise 13 years after he made a very big mistake. And yet God's so good. Have you made a mistake? Do you know that God's a forgiving God? He's a God of mercy, and He has not disqualified you permanently from receiving God's promise in your life. You need to repent if you went ahead of the Lord, or if you made a choice that you know is outside of the will of God and you're reaping it now. God can still do a restorative work. God is so merciful. So don't be in despair today if you have that situation in your life. Ask the Lord to forgive you and to make the best of the situation. You see, Abram asked God to bless Ishmael, and God said He would do that. But the promise God intended for Abraham, was Isaac, a son that would come forth through Sarah and would bless the whole earth. And we know that is the truth, and the case of our Messiah came through the lineage of Sarah, Isaac, and then onward. So don't be in despair if you made a mistake in your life and you have an Ishmael in your life. Just ask God to cover that. Ask God to forgive you. And then ask God to put you back in God's will. And then begin to be faithful to the Lord and trusting in the Lord, that in His goodness and His mercy and His grace, He can now bring the promise He intended for your life still to pass, even if years have gone by, as it was in the case of Abram. He's now 99 years old, 13 plus years after his mistake with Hagar, and he has this son Ishmael, and God comes back to him and says, I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Now, here comes something fantastic in my own heart. God changes Abram's name here in chapter 17 of Genesis. He says to Abram, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. The name Abraham means father of a multitude. Now, why do I love this so much? I'll tell you why. The promise to Abraham was that he would be a father of multitude of nations. He would have a son through Sarah that would bless the whole earth. But do you realize that God required Abraham now to go around and introduce himself? Hi, my name's Abraham. Well, everyone knew Abraham. The word Abraham meant father of multitudes, and he is an old man, no sign of any multitude. No sign of any multitude. He had one son who's 13 years old. No sign of any multitude in his life. And yet God required that he had to start speaking by faith the very promise that God had made to him. He required Abraham to speak what had not yet occurred as if it had already occurred. Now, this exact thing, that this is God's way of doing things. Do you realize that's how God operates? He always speaks of things that are not yet in existence as if they're already in existence. It's how he made creation. He spoke light and it became light. But here we have him speaking about future events, that God had Abraham doing that by calling him Abraham, by introducing him as, I'm Abraham, father of a multitude of nations, when there was no sign of any multitude of nations, and it would look like the man would probably die any day now. He's 99. And yet God set Abraham up to be a man of faith, to speak by faith, introducing himself as a father of a multitude. In Romans 4:17, we see that this is talked about, this exact thing is talked about in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It says this, and it's a reference to Abraham, as it is written, and then it quotes that, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father, is talking about Abraham, is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. God calls into being things that were not. I love that. Another version says, calls things that are not as though they were. God calls things that are not as though they were. That is God's way of doing things. I love that. And God wants us to operate that way. He gave us the demonstration through the life of Abraham. He had him begin calling things that were not as though they were in his life before he ever saw them happen. That is God's way of doing things. We are seeing the development of a life of faith through Abraham's example. God taught him how to walk by faith. He had to trust what God said, that it would come to pass. Then he had to say it as if it had already come to pass. Then he would receive it. That's the order. That's the way God does things. He causes us, he requires, or he calls us to trust his word. Then he calls us to speak his word. Then he calls us to receive his word. That's the order of a life of faith. Now, we know that Sarah had to learn that same lesson. We see in chapter 17, she did not have that revelation yet. But then in chapter 17, when the Lord spoke to Abram about changing his name to Abraham, he also mentioned he was going to change Sarai's name from Sarai, which means princess, to Sarah, which means noble woman. So we are about to see Sarah become that noble woman who can believe God also. Because in chapter 18, you heard the very delightful story, and it's delightful to me, this part of it anyway, that the Lord appears to Abraham It says, by the oaks of Mamre, while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And he looked up, he saw three men. And we know from this passage that one of those men was actually God himself, the Lord. And that is referred to as a theophany. It means a pre-Christ appearance of God in the Bible. We know when Christ walked on the earth, that's an appearance of God on the earth. But this is a pre-Christ appearance of God. The Lord appeared to him. And when he lifted up his eyes, three men are standing there. And then we see the encounter between God and Abraham, and how he says that by this time next year, your wife Sarah will have a son. And he and the Lord calls her Sarah there. No one else probably knew that name except for God. And Sarah was listening at the tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing, plain and simple. That time of her life in the natural was over. And then we find Sarah laughing, saying, after I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I indeed bear a child when I am so old? That is profound, because right here, God himself literally is calling Sarah out, because God had made a proclamation, this time next year, Sarah, your wife, is going to have a child. Sarah laughs. Obviously, she didn't believe it at that point. She didn't. She's like, how can this happen? I know I'm past childbearing. And in the history of mankind, there had been no such incident when a woman of 90 was going to have a child. But the Lord asks the ultimate faith question, which applies to every person, including you. In verse 14, the Lord himself says, is anything too difficult for the Lord? Let me ask you that question. Do you have an impossible situation in your life right now? An impossible family situation, an impossible financial situation, an impossible emotional situation? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? It may appear to be impossible to unravel the difficulty that you're facing right now. And the truth is, you cannot unravel it. You cannot make it back, put it back into order. But you know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think or even imagine. That is what the Lord was saying to Abraham and Sarah. It was impossible in the natural for the 99-year-old man and the 90-year-old woman to bear a child together. And yet the Lord said, this time next year, your wife will have, Sarah will have a child, a son. And Sarah laughed because she couldn't believe it. And Abraham was struggling to believe it as well. And yet the Lord put that question to them. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We know from the New Testament, though it's not said here in this passage in Genesis, we know from the New Testament that Sarah obviously made the decision to place her trust in the Lord and what he said in his word for this impossible thing to occur in her life. It was a decision. She made that decision. How do we know that? Because in Hebrews 11:11, this is stated, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Wow. Sarah received the ability, the supernatural ability, to conceive a child in her old age beyond the proper time of life. Why? How? How did she do that? She considered him, the Lord, faithful who had made the promise. She made a decision that God is faithful. If he made the promise, he'll bring it to pass. That's the challenge for you and for myself today. Will we consider him, the Lord, faithful, who made a promise to you and to me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The promise is no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. The promise is he loves his people. The promise is he has plans for good and not for evil for your life. The promise is even after we have made mistakes like Abraham made, that God is merciful and gracious and willing to help us start over and receive the blessing of his intended purpose in our lives. Abraham's intended purpose by the Lord, from the Lord, was to be a father of multitudes through Sarah, through Isaac, the promised son, and by the grace of God, and not because he did it perfectly, and not because he was man of faith the entire time. No, he struggled. He doubted. That's why he agreed to Sarai's crazy plan of having her maid be a surrogate mother for their child. And yet God still, in his mercy, forgave and brought to pass the promise in his life. God wants to do that for you also. Be of good cheer today. We serve a God for whom nothing is too hard. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is impossible. And we also serve a God who's so merciful that when we have made mistakes, if we will repent — repent means to turn and go in the other direction — when we'll repent, say, "Forgive me, Lord, I'll stop taking matters into my own hands. I will turn and just follow you and believe what you said and trust you for your timing and wait patiently by your grace and receive the promise in my life," that God will do that. God, your God, is the Lord. Is anything too difficult for him? It's not. Put your trust in him today, and God will bring to pass a blessing and a testimony in your life like Abraham's, where he could say, "The one who made the promise is faithful." God bless you. Have a great week.